All right, so as we continue in part seven today, I want to preach on the ability or the call to persevere. And that's a tough title and a tough subject as we talk through. The title of the series is God Mad at Me? We've said in a very clear way, no, God is not mad at you. In fact, God is for you. He's not against you. And so still, as people know that truth, it has to sink from their head into their heart and has to come out into their fingertips, and somebody has to tell their face that God is for you, not against you. And it's important that you understand, let that truth, using a food term, marinate in your heart. Let it capture your heart, but let it marinate in your heart. And once it's done its work in your heart, the ability to stand when there's nothing else to do but to keep on standing, and that persevering spirit that God's got this, even if the waves are still rolling and it's still raining in your life and things don't look to be exactly like you'd like them to be, your trust and your confidence and your faith is that God's got this. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in this word called perseverance. I'm going to persevere through the difficult times. Anybody ever had to persevere through something that you would look back and you'd say, you know what? Wow, we persevered through that. I can't believe that. That should have probably killed us. That should have crushed us. That should have unwinded everything. But God stood with us and we persevered. And hopefully you could point your faith to say, you know what? God really was the sustaining force in that. You started out maybe gritting your teeth, but in the end of it, you said, man, there's no way we could get to where we are now if it hadn't been for God. So there's this spiritual skill of perseverance. And James, we're going to read from today, James kind of really says some strong words to us in James chapter 1. If you've ever read the book of James, you probably know that much of the way he describes and talks to the body, it is very direct. We're not mincing words. We're not making sure that it's warm and fuzzy and rolled in powdered sugar. Like he's just giving it to you. I'm obviously hungry because we went through this last week. I'm always hungry. That's the thing. Yeah. Yep, I'm hungry. Deuteronomy 31 and 6, let's read that first because that's the one that we've read every week. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, nor terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And hopefully you've put that down somewhere. You've read your notes. You've played that over, that scripture, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a truth that we all need. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Through 5, and then we'll jump to 12 through 15, reads this. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Would you circle those words right there, mature and complete? That's very interesting. Not lacking anything. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. Amen. And it will be given to you. Verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, when tempted, no one. Now, I wanted us to keep reading right here because there is a theological and doctrinal truth that James is delivering right in the middle that I want us to see before we move on. You ready? In verse 13, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Amen. I'm thankful for that. God cannot be tempted by evil. That's good for us to know. Nor does he tempt anyone. That's really, really important to hear. That's really, really important to understand. Nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. This is the waging of war between the flesh and the spirit. When your flesh is enticed because you oftentimes, whether it's your family or your background or your personality, you have a disposition or propensity towards something that speaks to your flesh. It actually feeds your flesh. The enticements of sin, the enticements away from the kingdom, the enticements away from the spirit. And it's these desires, not God putting them on you. It's these desires that pull us away into a sinful life. Verse 14, but each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, I mean, we really start giving you a picture here. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. We've seen that, right? And sin, when it is full grown, watch out, gives birth to death. I feel like that this ending part, this last scripture here, is a real good tie into last week's message. And so I'll do an unashamed plug to go get the message from last week and listen to it as we talk about how God uses our brokenness, how God uses us in our places of challenge, that I'm not casting a stone or condemning anybody in this area. I just want to draw a very clear line that God is not the one putting it on you. He's not the one enticing you away from himself. That would be God working against himself. He's drawing us closer. So we learn here in this passage from James 1, that the testing of your faith, think about this for a moment, the testing of your faith, the pop quiz of your faith, the testing of your faith, the knowledge of your faith, the application of your faith, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That there is a press that will come in this earthly realm, in this fleshly realm that we live in. There will be an outside. We know there's a devil. We know that there's an enemy. We know that there's an enticement, that the enemy is raging war against everything that is kingdom, everything that is good, everything that is light, raging war against that to pull you away, to lure you away. But God had a plan. And God's plan was, is I'll send myself in the form of flesh, named Jesus, and I'll redeem back, and I'll restore back all that sin has been broken, because in one man sin entered into the world, and to another man he redeemed us back in Jesus Christ. So the perseverance comes in when your faith is tested. Nobody should say that God's put this on me, but James says, count it all joy. I think he's probably clapping, or he's got like a little background tune that's playing, something very happy, very energetic as he's writing these words. I don't know that that's true, but he's writing these words, he's penning them. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And all of us in 2018 are like, what was he writing? What do you mean? Various trials. I don't want any trials. You guys are being holy right now, and we're going to kind of keep going here, okay? I don't want any trials. I don't want any conflict. Can I just tell you that the press that comes against you is actually strengthening you? The test that's coming against you is actually building you in your faith. It's building your confidence. No, the Bible does say that if I resist the enemy, say no to the enemy, he will flee from me. There are little things, light things that I have to say no to. And at one time, we thought they were major things. We thought they were going to crush us. But now we look back and we go, boy, that was a small thing. That was a light thing. We thought that was a major test. That was a light test. You should see what I'm dealing with now. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, that the testing of your faith would produce perseverance. And when perseverance has its complete, don't miss that, when perseverance has its complete work, you would be mature, lacking nothing. Your ability to be mature spiritually is your ability not to hang in the hammock, not to run and hide. But the Bible says to stand when there's nothing else to do, I'm going to stand therefore. And he's given us the armor of God to stand and say, I'm not giving my ground. I'm persevering through this. God's got this. He's given me this. I'm going to stand. I'm persevering. And in the persevering, there's a maturity of your faith. People say all the time, I wish that I was more mature in faith. Pastor, could you pray for me so that I would be more mature in my faith? And I'm not sure they understand what they're asking for. The testing of your faith is what produces perseverance. Perseverance produces maturity. And when it's complete, you lack nothing. Wow. I hope you spend some time on that this week. So the question is not really whether or not God will be faithful. The question is whether or not we will stand and be faithful. So we ask the question, how can we be persevering in all trials? I'm so glad that you asked. Number one, I have three for you today. Number one is that we have to remember. We have to remember God's faithfulness. We have to remember God's faithfulness. Throughout the Bible, the Old Testament especially, we see God bringing the Israelites back to a place of remembering all of the miraculous and awe-inspiring, and how could you have missed it, circumstances that God brought them through, that God could only do that. It wasn't the million Israelites that did it. It was God that did it. And so here we read a passage of Scripture on remembering God's faithfulness in Joshua chapter 4. And we've at times in this series, we've gone back to the Israelites on their deliverance out of Egypt into the wilderness, right? We've talked about that a couple of times and how they crossed the Jordan. They stood at the base of Jericho. We've picked up different places, and so I want to do it again here. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "And Joshua said to them, 'Pass before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon your shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel.'" So here we are in verse 5 of Joshua 4, where Joshua is giving instruction to the people of God, saying, as he's brought them through the Jordan. So you remember, I'll have to back up for a minute. You remember the story, they came out of Egypt, and before them was a sea. It was the Red Sea. And with the Red Sea, God said, "They're coming to get you. You can hear the chariots coming." And they said, "What are we going to do?" And God said, "I'll do something miraculous. I'll let you walk right through the sea. How's that going to happen? No, I'll just split the sea in half. You guys walk right through. We'll draw them in. The water will go over them, and we'll destroy them." Well, that's a pretty good idea. Let's do that. Walked right through the sea. I mean, these dramatic things. And so now here we are at the Jordan River. It's now not a sea. It's a river. "God, we saw you do this when the water was standing still. How are you when the water's moving?" It's a different trial. He says, "We're going to go right through the water. This time I want you to send the priests, if you will, or the heads of each tribe to go into the Jordan River and pull out a stone." Verse 6. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask you in time to come, "What do these stones mean?" Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when we passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. In Hebrew, memorial right there means remember. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are living life and you are pursuing God and you hear the words of James say, "It's in the testing of my faith that it produces perseverance," I want you to know that testing comes, but in the testing and the ability to persevere, you must remember that if God did it once, he'll do it again. And this demonstration here in the Old Testament, Joshua gave the instructions to say, we need to go get 12 rocks and stack them on each other. And when we stack them on each other, your kids one day are going to say, "What's up with the rocks, man?" That's Brant's version. It's more eloquent in the Bible. And you will say, "God brought us out. God did this. All 12 tribes came through the Jordan River, and God did this." What am I saying to you today? I'm saying to you that each of you has a time, whether it was big or small, you've watched God bring you through. And if you're going to persevere in the next storm, if you're going to persevere in the next trial, if you're going to stand and keep on standing, you've got to replay. God did it once. He's going to do it again. Like young David, there was the bear and there was the lion. And then who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He recalled and remembered, "Man, I whooped that bear and I whooped that lion. Who's this big, ugly, greasy, ugly, nasty thing?" That description's actually in the Bible, by the way. Big, ugly, nasty. So in life, I've used this analogy before, but in life, much like driving a car, As we drive in a car, there's some really important glass in a car. There's called a windshield. The windshield does exactly what its name is. It is a shield from the wind. It is a wonderful piece of glass. But there's also a distracting piece of glass that's right in the middle of that glass. And if you spend all your time looking in that piece of glass, you're going to wreck. But the piece of glass called the rearview mirror is there to give you some context. It's to let you know where you've been, where you get to look up and check every now and then. You get to check, where have I been? Whoo, I see where I've come from. I see what God has done. But then I want to see the horizon of what God has for me. I'm moving forward, but every now and then I just check back to see what God has done. You have to remember. What is that in your life today? If you don't take anything out of this sermon today, maybe it's that. Maybe you go back home and you say, I've got to write some stuff down. I've got to go back and remember, wow, God brought me through that time when I should have lost my mind and I should have lost everything, but God came through. That God sent a person to bring a word of encouragement to me, or whatever it is for your life. I want you to go home. I want you for your family to set up, so to speak, 12 stones and say, here is a memorial of how God sustained us. And one day your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And you'll get to say, son or daughter, here, let me tell you about what God has done. In our family, we have a very dramatic story in our family over our second son. Now, I have 4 sons, and they are all unique and gifted in different ways. That was good for me. I had a little exhale. And for Nolan, our second son, he was born with a congenital heart defect. Some of you have heard me share that testimony. I won't share the whole thing today. But as a memorial, back then when I was a younger man, we had the presence of mind in the middle of that. We said that we want to build a memorial. And so I'm not going to share baby pictures today and get all awkward and sappy with you. But I want you to know there was a thing back in the day called Caring Bridge. And when Nolan was born, he was, and it was before social media and all of that. I think that today, if we had social media back then, we probably would have used it, but they had Caring Bridge where we gave updates. Nolan was born with a congenital heart defect. His heart was born with a switch transposition of the great arteries, so he was only getting oxygenated blood to his heart and his lungs, but not to his extremities. And so quickly, the doctors figured out, and the nurses, the charge, they figured out what was going on, and they started giving him oxygen, started like ramping up the oxygen to get to his fingertips and his toes, and his brain primarily is what they were the most worried about. I was like, is he right-armed or left-armed? Because we got to decide how his pitching is going to go. And they were like, no, we want to get to the brain. I'm like, all right, that's important too. And so at 3 hours old, he had his first surgery. At 7 days old, he had full open heart surgery. At 5 months old, he had brain surgery. As you can tell by every time I talk about it, I get wrecked. But I want to tell you that for my family, we serve a faithful God. Because we had no, literally, people that were churched, you know, right? I mean, Dad was a pastor, brought us, I mean, we were at the rock bottom of our faith and said, God, if there's only you can do this. And the doctors, all the smart people with all the degrees on the wall that they're proud of, they said, we know what needs to happen, but we can't make it happen. We have no pharmaceutical. We know what needs to happen to reverse the effects, because he had a massive allergic reaction to the transplant, the heart transplant machine, where they filter the blood through and then put it back in his body. When they put the blood back in his body, he had this horrific response. So if it wasn't the first surgery that got him, or the open heart surgery, it was what they did not expect. He had a massive allergic reaction to the bypass machine. And so now he's 10 years old, and I promise you, you would never know that he has gone through any of that. You must set up memorials. And I will tell you, as it relates to this book, And it relates to our family. When we pray for healing and we pray for God's divine protection, that's something for us and our family that we take very serious, because God's taken us through something that we can look back to and say, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for protection, you need prayer for wisdom, baby, I'm on it. And I've told some of you, when you've told me about certain things and you say, Pastor, we need you to pray, I guarantee you that I am praying about that. We do not take that lightly. Not my family. And I believe there's things for you. There's things that God has brought you through. Maybe you're walking through right now. You'd say, you know what? I know what it feels like. Maybe in your instance, we've been through where we've lost a few babies early on, and you've been through that as a lady and through as a couple. There's people that need to hear your story. Or maybe you went bankrupt and you lost everything. You need to tell your story, because God brought you out and brought you through. Maybe you lost your house, or you lost your parents, or whatever that might be. But God, through his strength and his perseverance, he helped walk you through that. And now you are who you are today because of God's goodness, his care, and his love for your life. He is faithful. Psalms 86 and 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So number one today, we must remember God's faithfulness. Number two, we must repeat God's promises. We must repeat God's promises. Now, this is often overlooked and considered by many people in the church to probably not work. But I want to tell you right now, as pastor, the Bible supports this, that we must not only remember, but we must repeat the promises of God that he has for our life. And so for me, I'm a simple-minded man, and there's silly things that help me remember how to repeat God's word. So I don't do a lot of this in the home. Abby does, but they're supposedly on bottles of cleaning and soap, they give you instructions. And so once Abby had to take me through this is how you clean. Right here on the instructions, it says apply, rinse, and repeat. I can do that. Apply, rinse, and repeat. Apply, rinse, and repeat. At the bottom of your notes there, on the left side of your sheet, you've got a couple lines that I want to tell you the secret to, or the process of faith to repeating the promises of God. Very simple. Apply, rinse, and repeat. It's find it, memorize it, and repeat it. Find it, memorize it, and repeat it. Now, you could write down apply, rinse, and repeat if you're like me and that just helps you. Apply, rinse, and repeat. But scripturally, it's find it, memorize it, and repeat it. Psalms 119 and 50 says this. David's declaring, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all of my troubles. You have to find it, ladies and gentlemen. You have to find the promises of God. So I exhort you as a church body that I don't want you to just read the scriptures that I give you. Now, that's a good place to start on a Sunday. But you may have something in your life, something that you're going through. You need to get into the Bible. Some of you, it looks like this. For many of you, it's thumbing through the Bible this way, or you're scrolling. You need to get in and find the scriptures for yourself. You need to get in and understand the parables that Jesus taught. You need to get in to David's wisdom that he had in the Psalms and Solomon in the Proverbs, and you need to get that. You need to go find it and say, that's a promise of God for my life. When we walked through the challenges with Nolan, we had people giving us scripture, but can I tell you, the scripture that impacted our faith the most was the scripture that we found, the scripture that we dug in and said, okay, babe, let's go find that scripture. For your life, you have to find scriptures for your life. There's lots of them in there. There's promises and God caring for you and taking care for you for your relationships and your jobs and whatever it might be. But you have to go and find it. I want you to hear that right now. There does come a place in your faith, in your spiritual journey, where you say, you know what? Pastor's doing a great job. pastor's doing a great job, but for me, I've got to get in. I've got to spend some time this week. I've got to get some scriptures in me. Some of you would say, I don't even know where to start, pastor. Well, we've given you those devotionals in the seat backs to help you. And there's tons of phenomenal resources. It seems like every few months, something else comes out about how you can get some scripture in you, but you have to find it. In finding it, you're applying it. You're applying it to your mind. It's the renewing of your mind, right? It's the renewing of your mind, of pouring that on, applying it, finding it, and then applying it. You have to rinse. You have to bathe. I'm preaching good. You have to bathe in the Word of God and the promises of God. You got to get in there and get behind your ears and work out the wax and work out the funk and work out the crusty. You got to wash it. The Bible says it's the washing of the water of the Word. If you're serious about moving forward in your faith, you'd say, you know what? I've got to find that scripture. I've got to find it and I've got to apply it. I've got to start working that thing in my life. I've got to start repeating it, is the last one, over and over again. Those are the scriptures that become true for your life. Can I tell you something that'll bind your marriage together like nothing else will do? Getting together in the Word. Praying together over the Word. Saying, honey, let's come together. Let's pray over this together. Let's find this scripture together. Can we agree on this scripture? One of the ways you can do that is you could do a theme scripture once a month. You could do one, this is not hard, one scripture once a month that both you and your spouse or you and a best friend or you and an accountability partner, one scripture you say, we're going to take this scripture and we are going to wash. We are going to bathe. We're going to work this thing out. One scripture a month. That's 12 scriptures for the year. You do that over your life and you got some scripture deep in your heart that nobody can take away from you. Nobody can shake. You don't even have to look it up. You probably will know the address of the scripture if you do that. You got to wash it over. Amen? So the truth is that God's promises, this is not anywhere, just write this down in your margin. God's promises are bigger than your problems. God's promises are bigger than your problems. You must find the scriptures. Apply, rinse, and repeat. Apply, rinse, and repeat. Jesus said in Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Number three today, if you're going to persevere in your faith through life's challenges and trials, number three is you must determine to grow spiritually. You must determine to grow spiritually. Now, I've said this in different ways a couple of times with different words, but it is probably the mantra of my ministry, that God doesn't want to leave me where he found me. He wants to grow me. He wants to take me to a new place of greater fruitfulness than I was in the prior season. And I've said this since I was a youth pastor. Listen, how you act when you're 13 is not how you should act when you're 23. And how you're 20, you shouldn't be acting at 33 how you were acting at 23. There's a process of growth and maturity in your faith. Amen. So I have to determine that I'm going to grow spiritually. James 4 and 8, many of you know the first half of this verse, and we all say amen over it, but I want you to see the second half. It says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. This is James. I'm just telling you, like, he puts it on you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's he saying? Make up your mind. I'm giving you the promise that if you come close to God, he'll come close to you, but stop kind of being half and half, being on the fence, like maybe God works, maybe he doesn't. Can I just tell you, God is not your contingency plan. He is the plan. God is not the plan B. He is the plan. How are you going to do that? I'm giving it to God. God said it, and we're going to do it. Well, how's that all going to work out? God's going to give me the steps I need to take. Well, do you know what the outcome's going to be? Nope, God's got this. He says step, and I'm going to step. He says wait, I'm going to wait. He says step to the side, I'm going to step to the side. And when it's time to move, I'm going to move. And when I go back, I go forward. I'm going to be with God in this thing. But I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm not going to say, well, this week or today, I'm going to give up on listening to God or going to God. No, I'm determined to grow in my faith. And in growing in my faith, there might be a few tests and pop quizzes that pop up. You know, things on your schedule that's not on your Google Calendar that comes up on Tuesday. How did this happen? It's the testing of your faith. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11 is another promise. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. This is in the Amplified, and it stretches it out and goes further and says, longing to be in his presence. Seek his face continually, longing to be in his presence. Different translations say one or the other. That's why I like the Amplified. It says, seek his face continually. Some translations say, be in his presence. Watch this. Some say, seek his face. Some say, be in his presence. Some say, seek his face. And others say, in his presence. What does that mean? That means I need to have a face-to-face meeting for all you business people. If I'm going to be in their presence, I need to be face-to-face. Now, I know we like Zoom calls and this other stuff that we do in business now where we do everything virtual. But with God, he's saying, I need you to get face-to-face. I need you to seek the face of God. What's he saying? I need you to seek the presence of God. It's just not knowing about what God does in his promises and his faithfulness, but I've got to get in and know who God is. I want to be with him face to face. When you dated the person that you married, you didn't do all your dating virtually. Some of you started out that way, but you had to move to the next level. You said, how are we going to do this? Well, we need to see each other face to face. I need to be with God face to face. I need to be in his presence. So for Christians, many of us have been taught in our style of church and our expression of Christianity that we believe is accurate with the Bible. We teach people that you should be in Scripture. You should develop your prayer life. You should have a worship life. You should be in Scripture. You should be having a prayer life. You should have a worship life. Can I tell you that there's more beyond just that? So you're in his presence and you're with him, but how am I going to determine my growth? I'm going to give you a little bit of that right now because most people stop right there and they say, well, I'm in Scripture and I'm in prayer and I'm in worship. What else do you want from me? Can I submit to you that God wants all of you? I know a little bit of Scripture. Amen. That's good. I say a prayer. That's good too. I hum when they lead worship. I hum now. I used to not do anything. Now I hum. Boy, we have really come a long ways. I'm so proud of you. Like you've really, I mean, that's awesome. Can I tell you that your walk with the Lord, you're determined to grow spiritually, is more than just Scripture. That's where you should start. As an infant, as a baby Christian, you start on the milk of the Word. You get in the Word. You pray. But can I tell you that there's things about your commitment to people? And we would use the word attendance, like, you know, coming to church or being a part of the growth group where you're committed to be with people, God's people. That's the next step. If there was a phase one and a phase two is like, I've got to be around God's people. I've got to mix it up. I've got to hear their testimony, not just mine. And then I could share my testimony, but hearing their testimony builds my faith. And what do they say about that scripture that I read? And if we pray together, it's the prayer of agreement, wherever two or more are gathered there in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's this commitment to people. There's this attendance commitment. Component. This is phase two. This is not in your notes. I'm just free stuff. Write this in your margins. The next one is serving the body of Christ. This is kind of phase two. It's attending and being with people. It's committing to be with people. We're talking about growing here. So if you're just wanting to go idle, then you can turn me off for a few minutes. We'll pray in a minute, okay? But for those that want to grow, I'm helping you right now. Committing to people, attending, being around, showing up. I mean, half of life truly is just showing up. Being with God's people, when you say you're going to be there, be there. And then it's serving. What does that mean? In the local church, we provide opportunities for people to serve. Why is that? Pastor just wants me to serve. Man, he is a taskmaster. No, I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to apply what God's poured in you. Listen, what God's poured in you, and I want you to pour it out into the body of Christ. And Paul talks about it. I pour out, and the Holy Spirit pours in. I pour out, and the Holy Spirit fills in. I get fresh revelation, and when I've poured out everything I've got, whew, God, what else do you have for me? When you pour out, he pours in. And the next one that people don't want to hear about in the growth of your faith, in this faith journey of intentionally growing, determined to grow in your faith, is your giving, is your finances. Now, I'll teach on that in the future, and we talk about it a bit, but people, it's like, you know, the clutches, you know, they can I just tell you that God doesn't need your money? He needs your heart. And what has captivated most of Western world's heart? Money. And so we have the hardest resistance on the subject of money, especially in church. And the angle, if there is one, that Jesus had is, I don't need your money. I don't need your pocketbook. What I need is your heart. And you, if you do what I ask you to do, I'll give you, the Bible, a cattle on 1,000 hills is God's. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And literally, he's talking about provisions for your life, and then all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Oh, you want me to give? I'll give. You see a person in need? I'll give. They need some help? I'll give. How can we give to that? How can I help you today? Can I buy your meal for you? Can I take care of your tank of gas? Can I do this? Can I do that? I want to give. Why is that? Giving heart is the Holy Spirit flowing through you. Money doesn't have a grip on my heart. Let's give it away. Why? Because he'll just keep giving it to me. See, when we get it twisted that it's us making the money, I believe God looks at our stewardship, not our titles. Most of us are after the title of the job, of the business. God's saying, son or daughter, I want to see your heart. And we've studied that. We've looked at that. It's the heart. It's the heart of the issue. It's the heart of the matter. It's, where is your heart? So it's attendance. It's, I'm talking about next level stuff beyond just prayer and worship and the word, which are foundational things that you must have. Next, if you're really determined to grow in your faith, is I'm going to show up when it doesn't feel good. Yeah, when the schedule doesn't work out, I'm still showing up. I'm still going to growth group, or I'm still meeting my friends that are going to talk about, we're going to pray for one another. Yeah, I'm going to be there. Yeah, I've committed to serving church. I'm going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to commit. I've heard people say, you know, in this year, I'm going to commit to be as many Sundays as I can be at. And that's a big deal, because in the past, they just kind of came whenever it was convenient. I'm helping you right now. I don't know if you feel that or not, but I'm helping you. It's the attendance piece. Next is the serving piece. Serving your gifts and your talents to the body of Christ. Now, a place that you start out, I was saying this in church, we provide that, but in the marketplace, you serve your gift. You think you go to work, but what you really do is you serve. And if you don't have a heart to serve in the marketplace, you'll never be promoted to where you think you want to go. Because as you serve, the Lord will promote. He'll bring down the proud and lift up the humble. You say, I'm here to serve. It could be in whatever it is that you're doing. But if your heart is to serve the people and serve those that you're called to, whether it's in the marketplace or it's some ministry, but you're there to serve, watch yourself just rise. As you stay humble and you remove yourself from pride and you say, I'm here to serve and I'm here to learn. When you do that and your heart is to serve, you will be promoted and they will throw money at you. Well, if I just had more money, and my heart, or my ploy to you is that if you would serve more. This point is illustrated very clearly. God feels heavy in the room right now. Can I just say that? I wasn't intending this to be heavy, but I feel the Holy Spirit right now moving on this. Huh. I'll tell you guys something real fast before we read this script. I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit because it's kind of heavy in here. And I'm like perceiving a little bit of resistance. Sometimes I'll prepare really strong statements that the Holy Spirit will move on me to say or write down, and I'll never say them. Because when I stand up here, I let the Holy Spirit lead me in what I'm supposed to say. So I've got all this stuff in here, and I'll oftentimes write really strong stuff, and it'll never come out. And then the Sundays when I've written all these very hilarious jokes, I'm like, that was so good. How come I didn't say that? And it'll be that Sunday that the Lord gives a word that just pierces the heart of the people. And I'm as much excited when I get up to preach as I believe you are when you come here on Sundays. Amen? Yeah, I believe that you're excited. Matthew 25. And verse 24 says this, and then the servant Oh, I have to give you the context. So this is the parable of the talent. We're only reading the end of the parable of the talent as we're talking about determining to be or to grow spiritually. As we determine to grow spiritually, we look at the bottom half of the parable of the talents. Everybody mostly familiar with the parable of the talents? So here we are picking it up at the end, verse 24. It says, the servant with the one bag of silver came and said. So in this translation, it's a bag of silver. In other translations, it's a talent, right? So he gave five talents, two talents, and one talent. And here we have the bag of silver, or the one talent, okay? So he's given it to them. Time has gone by. The Bible says a lot of time went by. And the master comes back and he says, what have you done with the talents that I've given you? And so verse 24, then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. Verse 25, I was afraid. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, do not be afraid nor terrified. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Here, the servant says, I was afraid. I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. Verse 26, the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew that I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money into the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags. So he had five bags. He went and invested the five bags. He made five more bags. So now he had 10 bags. And so the master's saying, take the one that's been hidden, take it away from him and give it to the one that has 10. Verse 29, to those who use well, you might have to use your pen and underline these words. Those who use well what were given, they use well with what they were given, even more will be given. Then they will have an abundance. I want you to hear between the lines and read this. How do you receive an abundance? Then they will receive an abundance. For those who do nothing, even the little that they have, will be taken away. So listen to me for a moment as we end today. We had the parable of the talents of 5 and 2 and 1. And the master declared over the servants and their work, their business of investing, the talents that were given to them. We've all received talents from God. Some of us would say, that person definitely has five talents. Wow, they're really talented. That person has two talents. Look at them. They're very talented. This person has one talent. We've all been given talents. That's the point of the parable. We've all been given talents. But the master returning declared that the one who buried the talent was wicked. Those are really strong words. They're not wicked because they lived in sin. They weren't wicked because they did something damaging or damning to their lives or other people. The master says that they are wicked because they did nothing with the talents that they were given. So how do we tie it together? We tie it together that I'm going to be intentional about my growth with the Lord. I'm going to do something with what I've got right now. Some of us would say, well, if I had the five talents, Pastor, then I would do something. And I'm telling you, you got talent. It's time to get busy with the talent you got. Don't bury it and put it in the ground. And when the Lord returns, say, Lord, I was afraid that you would do this, and I was afraid of that, and I was terrified of this, and I was terrified of that. So here it is, I'm giving it back to you. And the Lord would say, you wicked, I mean, this is in the Bible, you wicked and lazy servant, you have done nothing. Whoa. Those are really strong words. So for us as believers today, on this subject of perseverance, many of us would say in person, I'm tired of the storm. I'm tired of the test. I want to tell you that the test and the storm is developing you. It's processing you. It's growing you to a place of maturity for you to say, you know what? God gave me one. I'm going to make two. And in the next season of my life, I've got two. I'm going to make four. And this thing's going to double and this thing's going to multiply. And I started out with little. Some of you could say you started out with nothing in your life. Can I just tell you, with little, God can do much. With little, God can do much. So we can't say or disqualify ourselves that for some reason we have nothing, we can be nothing. No, God's giving each man and each woman a measure of talent. What are we doing with that talent? If we're going to persevere and we're going to come through and we're going to be champions for God and do kingdom work and do the impossible and revel in his goodness, how do we do that? We persevere. We stand. And in the testing of our faith, perseverance is developed. And I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to develop and I'm going to grow intentionally. What is it that I have that I haven't put into play yet? That's my question for you today as we end. What is it that God's given you that you haven't been willing to put into play yet? You've been keeping it on the sidelines, so to speak, of the game of life, but God's given it to you. It may be keen insight or wisdom into a certain area. It may be a certain talent or a certain giftedness. God's saying, I want you to put that into play. Don't have the master return home and say, what have you done with the talents that I've given you? We don't want to say, Lord, I did nothing with it. Some of you today may have to back the bus up and say, you know what? We got to reorganize some things. I've got to get this thing into play. Yes, this is a call spiritually by the pastor to the church to say, you know what? We need to get some stuff in play. And I want you to hear me today. I'm not casting a stone. I'm not coming down on anybody. I want nothing more than for you to reach the purpose and the full potential and the destiny that God has for your life. But you'll never get there if you sit on the talents. We got to put them in play. Amen.